Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we all say praise the Lord? Amen. Well, it is very good that we are here today. We are so blessed to be here among you all. We look out upon you. Many of you we know from times past that we have come. We also see new faces who we have not seen before. And we are just so very thankful for the presence of God here today.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that the gathering of His people should be unto Him.
Amen.
So when we come together, we're coming to come into the presence of God, because I believe God is here.
Amen.
How many of you believe that God is here?
Amen.
Amen. And if we believe that He's here, okay. Yeah, is someone going to interpret? Oh, our young sister is. Okay. Why don't I give you that? All right. I'll talk loud and you can use the microphone, okay? All right. Praise the Lord. As we were speaking, I believe that God's presence is here right now. For if we are gathering together unto Him, Jesus gave us this promise. He said that if two or three
or
you could say 50 or 100
or 500 or 50
if you're gathered together in His name, He will be right in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to, if you have your Bibles, how many of you have Bibles here today? I see a few. Okay, well, we were going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. And verse 16. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. 16, verse 16.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Why don't you read that to him? Verse 16.
Okay, 16.
Yes.
Ang mga tao na nagapuyo, paniwala sa kanit-nit, nakakita gahong kahayag. Ug alam sa mga nagnanagpuyo sa dapit ug sa landong sa kamatayon.
This scripture verse is also in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. And what this scripture verse is it was prophesying about the Son of God coming to earth, Jesus Christ, and walking in the midst of a people. Okay, no problem. All right. This scripture verse is also in the book of Isaiah.
Okay, book of Isaiah. Naado siya sa libro sa book of Isaiah.
And it speaks, and it's a prophetic word of the coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay, nagasulti po na siya, ha? Ang Jesus mo, ang He.
But we must also understand the depths of the word that is being spoken.
Okay, dapat pud nato sabton kung unsa gid ang kinaulan mo, gika kana gika lamon.
Because in Matthew it says the people sat in darkness. In the book of Isaiah it says the people walked in darkness. But in the midst of that darkness, a light came and shined. I said, in the midst of that darkness, light came and shined. Oh, she can't hear. Okay. All right. Okay, praise the Lord. How many of us realize that we sit in the midst of darkness?
Okay.
Huh? Isn't it daylight right now? All right, isn't it daylight right now? It's not nighttime, right? So we are in the middle of the day, the sun is shining, right? But the Bible here speaks of types and shadows.
Pero ang Biblia nagahisgot og mga tipo og iyang mga anino.
And God wants to give us of a spiritual understanding.
Gitagahan sa Ginoo og espirituhanon nga pagpanabot.
That though it is natural day,
nabisan pa tong kini karon nga natural nga adlaw,
we dwell in the midst of darkness.
Ingon nga naa ta nakapuyo diya sa taliwala sa kagitngitan.
Amen.
Amen.
When the Bible talks about a people sitting in darkness, it's speaking about the environment of our lives. And that the only true light is God's Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me just share something with you. There is a need for every man, every woman, every child to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say come to know Jesus Christ, I'm talking about a relationship with God our Creator who became our Savior. All I can share with you is what my experience has been. To know where I came from. I grew up a sinner, knowing nothing about God, or I should say an intimate relationship with God. I was raised in a religious home. They would share about the things about that there is a God, that he had a son, Jesus Christ, that there was heaven and there was hell. And in my own thinking, oh yes, I did believe in my mind that there was a God somewhere. And I did believe that there was a devil somewhere else. but it was not a reality to me until I was 27 years of age. You see, there's something different than just thinking or believing in your mind about God. It says in the Bible, it says, even the devils believe and they tremble. So I share with each one of you, because I believe here in the midst of all of us, that there are those, some of you, that have received Christ as your Savior. But I also believe that here in our midst, there are those of you that just know God in your mind, but not in your heart. Or when I say the difference between having God in your mind or in your thought process, and in your heart, is the difference between being a sinner and being born again. The Bible says, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. But that word believed, the Greek word for the word believe, there is a specific definition of that word. But to truly believe is that you're going to adhere to, believe on, and rely upon. So I want to share with you a little testimony. Because I was one of those people, even though I walked in this world, I did not realize I was walking in darkness. I was living to the best of what I thought I was living for. I was working, I was married, I had children, and yet I also like to do what all the people in the world love to do. I was a sinner. And you know what sinners do? Does everybody know what sinners do? Sinners sin. It's the nature of fallen man to sin. But one of the problems also with sinners is that they are not saved. They are not born again. And it is only by the hand of God that reaches out and reveals himself to a man or a woman. That he begins, or that he or she begins to realize that they are a sinner and they're going to hell. And let me tell you something else. Not only do sinners sin, but Christians can sin. Oh yes, right? Isn't that true?
Huh?
But sinners should not be sinning. Sinners should be serving God. You know, Jesus said something when he began his ministry on the face of the earth. Here was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that God sent His Son to this earth in the form of a man, but He was not just like every man. He was God incarnate in man. And so that scripture verse says, and a great light shined and walked in the midst of the people. But not only for the people of 2,000 years ago, He came to this earth for one purpose, to give His life, to shed His blood, that all that would believe on His name would receive of the blood that He shed in order to redeem your soul. Hallelujah. Because without the presence of God, without that life of the blood, no man can escape hell. For the Word says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let me explain something to you. If today that you sin, darkness takes more of a hold in your life. Every time we sin, we get paid for that sin. And that payment is death. So you sin, death comes upon you. You sin some more death comes upon you. Or you could equate death with darkness. That is why we must reject sin and turn to one who knew no sin, that is Jesus Christ, that we might receive the forgiveness of sin. Whether you're a sinner or a saint. And you know, when I say saint, I'm talking about believers. So God wants to redeem us out of darkness. Come on. God wants to redeem you and I out of darkness, so that we might receive life. Now, the opposite of the wages of sin is death. The opposite of that, which is the gift of God, is eternal life. What is eternal life? Huh? What is eternal life? Well, some will say, well, eternal life, Brother George, is living forever. Well, eternity is something that has no end. But when we talk of life eternal, we're talking about Jesus Christ Himself. For Jesus said, this is life eternal, that thou shalt know about Jesus Christ. And when I say know, that means that it is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus is not someone that's far off, but he's very near. Because the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the Word of God. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that same Word in the book of Romans teaches us that the Word is near us. Come on. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, is near us. Even within our own mouth and our heart, Jesus Christ, right in the midst of here, right as close as I am to Him, and even closer than that. Because the Bible also tells us that there is one that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. The reality of Jesus Christ, what His desire is to dwell within us. Oh yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Creator of all heaven and earth, wants to dwell inside of each one of us. But can God dwell where there's sin? Do you think God wants to dwell in people that commit sin? No. That's why Jesus said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? It's at hand. It means it's here. It's present. Even at this very moment, as you sit and listen, as you're hearing something that I don't even know what you're hearing. Because as I'm speaking to you of the Word of God, the Spirit of God is going into each one of you, and the Spirit of God is convicting you of sin. And if you're not born again, God is convicting you to turn your heart to Jesus. I can tell you right here, right now, that if you want to be set free of sin, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, cry out and say, Father, forgive me of my sin, and God will come to you with the blood of Jesus Christ and wash you and set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God loves you. He died on the cross for you. He wants to come and to dwell within you. But unless a man repents, he will never even see the kingdom of God. That's why I'm telling you here today that if you have never committed your life to serving Jesus, if you have not repented of your sins, you're going on a path of darkness and eternal death and damnation. And if you are born again, and you are under the power of sin, just because you called upon the name of the Lord before, does not mean that you will escape hell if you don't repent. Come on, let us get an understanding of what Jesus is trying to tell us, what the Word is saying to us. The wages of sin is death. Come on, can we say that? Say it in your language. The wages of sin is death. Okay, but now let us say the remedy. The prescription to be delivered of the wages of sin is death, is to receive the gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The Word tells us that if I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved. Now, I was born again 33 years ago, June 27th, 1980, about 10 o'clock at night. I was a sinner going to hell. But God, in His infinite mercy and love, knew that I had to make a choice. So He sent a man of God to tell me that God was real. Come on. If you went out and asked everyone out there, make a survey. Do you believe in God? Oh yes, most everybody would say, oh, we believe in God. Wouldn't they?
Huh?
Wouldn't they? Of course they would. I mean, the Philippines, isn't the nation of the Philippines mostly Roman Catholic? Isn't it 80%, 90% Roman Catholic? If you ask almost all any Roman Catholic, do you believe in God? They would say yes. And how do I know? I used to be a Roman Catholic. Oh yes, I was raised Roman Catholic. We would go to the church and we would go to a mass. We would see crucifixes. We would see statues. And in all that surrounding, I knew somewhere out there must be God. But I'm telling you something, everyone. The night the man came to my house and he said a simple question to me. He said, George, he says, do you know that God is real? And I said, well, and before I could answer, he said, no, he goes, I'm not talking about in a church building or in statues. I am saying God is real as He was sitting next to me. And to tell you a truth, and it had to come from God, in all my 27 years of living, and I did a lot of things, good and bad, I never thought of that simple question before in my life. That God was real as this young lady is sitting next to me and I can touch her. And as we conversed that night, and he at the end of our night of conversing, He said a very simple prayer. He said, Lord, make yourself real to George, to his wife Sue. And I'm going to tell you something. God made himself so real to us that night. He made himself so real. We got down on our knees and called upon the name of the Lord. We said, Jesus Christ, come into our lives. Forgive our sins. And there was something that happened that night then that was different than all 27 other years of my life. I wasn't calling upon a statue. I wasn't calling upon a figment of my imagination. I wasn't calling upon just a thought. But it was God Himself who had come to our house. It was God Himself that was convicting me of sin. That I would get down on my knees and cry to God with my whole heart to come into my life. And from that day on, from that day forward, our lives were totally changed. I no longer had a desire to serve sin. I no longer had a desire to serve alcohol and drugs. And all the other related sins I was in my life. I became born again. And I began to see the kingdom of God. But I want to tell you something much, much more. Because it's not just enough to be born again. Even though that born again experience was something that was so different in my life. When I woke up the next morning, the skies were bluer than I ever saw them before. When I looked upon people, I looked upon them wanting the best for them. But most of all, I had been touched by God. He did something I could not explain to you fully with my words in my mouth. But it was like all my sins that I have committed. By His blood, He washed me and I felt totally clean. Totally at peace. But He also did something else. Because you know what was happening now in my life? I just wanted to know God more. To know more. Who is this God that would know me so much that He would come and send a person to my house and love me so much He wanted to bring me out of the clutches of hell? And so we began to take, and up to this point, I never really knew what was in the Bible. But now I was hungry. Not hungry for natural food, but hungry for the Word of God. And so we began to get our Bible, and we began to read it. I started in the book of John. The one brother encouraged, start reading in the Gospel. Start reading. And when we opened up that Bible, I probably had one or two Bibles in my life that collected a lot of dust. But this Bible, when I opened it up, they were no more just a book, but they were living words. Living words that as I began to read, it was like life jumping off the page, coming into my heart. It was the Word of God. It was life. And as we each day as we went, oh, all we could think of was wanting to know more about God. But you know, it wasn't just our part, but God was actively working with us. You know that when we become born again, God gives us a promise. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So when I became born again, it was like this insatiable